To take a little time and visit with 4th District Congressman Randy Feenstra. And Congressman, thanks for taking some time to visit with us this week.
Hey Jim, great to be on with you today.
I know that it's been awful busy in Washington. Debt service, that's been, or the debt ceiling issue, that's been one of the hot topics. And of course, part of it was what was going to be put out by Speaker McCarthy. And I know there was a bit of an issue, and you, along with the other congressman from Iowa, definitely let him know what your thoughts were on the renewable fuels part of it.
Yeah, this is a really big deal. I mean, so Janet Yellen has come out and said by June 1st, we will have hit our debt, and we will, in essence, have no more funds to pay our bills. So we had to pass something in the U.S. House and put it in the Senate. So what we did is we created a bill to cut $4.5 trillion of our debt and then only allow 1% increase in spending over the next several years. But part of that early on was that they were killing all the tax credits for ethanol and biodiesel. And we said, wait a minute, that's the economic engine for Iowa, literally. I mean, we have 42 ethanol plants, 12 biodiesel plants. This cannot happen. And we stood firm. And working with the majority leader, Speaker McCarthy, we got to an agreement of keeping those in. And I'm really proud of that. I mean, we have to cut, absolutely. But our return on investment for these tax credits are enormous. And they're actually what fuel our economy and actually create a lot of revenue for our federal government. So it was a win-win, but now President Biden's got to come to the table and he's got to decide what he's going to do with his debt ceiling. We put something and gave it to him, and now they've got to decide.
Well, it's and that's going to be the big challenge is what are we going to end up with? And it, frankly, I look at it because I've watched Congress for 30, 40 years doing this now. And again, I see the same arguments coming back and forth both times, both sides. But it's something that needs to be done. Otherwise, the consequences are catastrophic.
Yeah, the consequences are catastrophic. Exactly right. So we have to be adults. We can get this done. We have to raise the debt ceiling. But with that, with $32 trillion of debt, we also absolutely got to cut our debt.
Well, I do know that you've got a lot of other things that are going on. Obviously, our district here, the biggest, I call it the most prosperous agricultural district in the country, the Ag Advisory Board, and you're going to be doing some touring. Now, I'm not sure how fast planting is going here, but we've got, I know you've got different people that you've been visiting with and keep pretty close tabs on and get information from them.
Exactly. I mean, we are probably the number one agricultural district in the country. I mean, we are literally the breadbasket to the world. And with that, we got to know what's going on. So we do listening tours. I have an agricultural board, advisory board that can guide me and direct me on some of the key issues. There's so much going on, whether it be hogs with a low price right now, to cattle that are doing well, but we need pricing transparency. The commodity markets with corn and soybeans. You know, we have to have a better export market. So these are all things that we're working with. And yesterday I was at an elevator in Ocheyedan and going to an ethanol plant and going to equipment dealers. You know, everybody plays a part in this economic system that is driven by agriculture in the 4th District.
How important is it to continue to get this kind of input? Because I know that you were able to get back onto working on the farm bill and again being able to have that input directly from the producers on these are the kinds of things they're looking for. We don't need to save everything. This is the kinds of things that they can work with.
Exactly. And there's so many areas. I talked about many of them, but even with milk, I was at a cheese plant yesterday. There's so many different nuances that truly affect the profitability for these different organizations and, whether it be input costs, whether it be transportation costs, supply chain issues, workforce issues. And if we don't really go to the table and go to the mat for our agriculture, no one else will, because we have so many congressional members from the East and West Coast. That's where the population is. So we've got to fight and do everything we can to have a loud voice to make sure that we're taken care of when it comes to the farm bill coming up.
Well, I do know that one of the things that you're interested in, you got a bill going on here, having visited Ag Certain here in Boone. This is one of those things where you are looking at trying to make available dollars that they can use for R&D.
Exactly. So we saw this, you know, there's several components to this. At the Farm Progress Show held right there in Boone, there's so much technology out there, but we've got to continue to push research and development. That lowers input costs, adds value to the producer. But we also, we see that through Iowa State University and what they do. They need more dollars. And I've looked at the return on investment. So what we put into research and development, if we put in $50 million, our research and development is five times that. So it's a great bang for our buck when it comes to taxpayer dollars. And that's why I'm looking at saying we need to increase the research and development dollars that go in, because we know the amount going out is really extreme. And more importantly, it really helps keep a vibrant economic community in agriculture for our fourth district.
I know that doing that, again, providing some of that, to me, it's always one of those things. It's kind of like planting that seed, and then you've got a lot of other parts that will come in and be a part of it, join in on it.
Exactly.
You can build
exactly.
A
car. That's right. And we're seeing that even in the biofuels industry, that there's so many. So you get the fuel out of it, but there's so much added value in what else is coming out of that, whether that be distiller's grain, whether that be, you know, the carbon that can be used for other things. I mean, there's just so many pieces and parts that to continue to add value of what we're doing to squeeze that soybean or squeeze that corn. And we see that also in the livestock with cattle and hogs, what the different pieces and parts that we can use. It's, you know, research has come a long ways over the last several decades. And now we're seeing the fruits of that, but we got to continue down that path.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm always amazed at the ideas that some people come up with, and then, you know, with just a little bit of incentive, a little bit of an opportunity or assistance, man, they can really step up. And here we've got something that goes, why didn't somebody think of this a long time ago?
Exactly. And you know, you go to every little community in Iowa in the 4th District, they have little diamonds, little manufacturing, little agricultural, you know, manufacturing groups that all of a sudden they have 50 to 100 workers because one person thought of a great idea. And that's what keeps our small towns growing.
Well, I do know that one of the things you, and I did see your press release, I think I had that posted there, about trying to put some resources out there to help producers buy precision ag equipment, things like that. And it's, again, perfect example going to the Farm Progress Show. I can remember one of the first times I was looking at some of the precision ag marketing ideas they were coming up with. And now it is just astronomical, the what's available. But it is not inexpensive, that's for sure.
That's exactly right. And so I want to help out the producer. And seeing at the Farm Progress Show last August, I said, hey, how can we make sure that our producers can have this equipment and this technology? So I worked with the USDA, and I said, can we create low-interest loans up to $500,000 for our farmer community, work through the banks, and work through farm credit, on offering loans to buy some of this new technology. So it's a bill that has been worked on. It's going through the Agricultural Committee right now, and I think it's going to pass. So, again, it's just another way to help out the producer, and it doesn't cost the taxpayer anything. We're just doing low-interest loans to allow the producer to buy some of this new equipment.
Tell you, and every little bit of it seems to maximize that profit margin.
Exactly. And it helps that producer lower the input costs, you know, add value. These are so, you know, right now with agriculture, it's so close to whether you make a profit or you lose dollars. So with that narrow margin, we got to figure out better ways to be more efficient.
I can remember back many years ago, you know, farmers kind of knew what parts of the field and, you know, how deep to plant and things like that. But now it is just so precise. That's it.
Exactly. Now technology tells you it. Exactly. Yep. It tells you how much fertilizer, how deep to plant. You know, there's so many things that go into it. Yep.
Well, one thing I did want to ask, because I know, again, the biofuels issue came up with the debt ceiling package, but again, the one thing that is still hanging out there, and the question is, will we ever get there or not, it seems like, but you're around access to E15. I know that some people say, well, we only have so many stations that have it right now, and again, that's a long process to get everything upgraded, but in the long run, it does, on the renewable fuel side, it does give them a stable goal to work towards.
Exactly. And you talked about the retailers. The retailers want certainty. And the only way you create certainty is you create it permanently. When they have to wait for a waiver, are we going to be able to sell in the summer, which we just got from the EPA, right? That creates uncertainty. So we are really driving to get E15 year-round. There's a bill out there right now that I'm a part of, and we're going to try to make this happen. But, you know, people also, once you start using it, you can save 22 to 35 cents a gallon. It's a win for the consumer. It's a win for the retailer because they can sell it. But again, the permanency is the key. If they know they can sell it year-round, they're going to put in the infrastructure.
So what do we need to get done there? Are we talking EPA? Are we talking energy policy?
Right. This is Congress's policy. The EPA can allow waivers to have it, you know, through the summer and stuff, but we got to act. And I'm looking whether it could be in the Farm Bill, whether it could be a standalone bill. I'm working with the Ag Committee. I'm working with the Energy Committee on trying to figure out how we can get this through. And now, as of last week, ethanol and biodiesel have been put on the map. Trust me, everybody in D.C. now knows ethanol because of last week, so now's the time to strike.
So in this, I'm guessing, this is not just one party or the other. This is pretty much a nonpartisan. You're talking in the Midwest here. We've got a pretty nonpartisan group working on this.
Exactly. It's very bipartisan. This is you know, all the farm or the rural members, I mean, we're all into this. And now it's about educating the East and West Coast members of how important it is. It's a clean form of energy, you know, something that we can all champion.
Yeah. What kind of challenges are you running into, again, from the oil lobbyists? Because I know they want to preserve their territory.
And you hit it on the head. This is the biggest challenge right now is members from Texas and Kansas, Oklahoma. You know, they're not real fond of it, but all I can say, it's a win-win. I mean, if we have E15 year-round, we also have to use the petroleum to have that E15, you know, carry it. So I try to champion and say, hey, it's a win for petroleum. It's a win for our agricultural producers. And it's local, right? We're not buying petroleum from Venezuela or Saudi Arabia or whatever. I mean, we can be energy independent by doing this.
I know you're back in Washington, but one of your goals every year is, again, make it around to all 39 counties. Not really having too much of a problem being able to do that if you get home and the weather is cooperating.
The weather, we just got to have it warm up. I mean, I've talked to so many producers right now. As, you know, they can get in the field, but that corn's not germinating right now because the temp is right around 45, 50 degrees on that soil temp. And I know it's going to warm up today and tomorrow, and that's what we need to start having the stuff germinate.
All right.
So,
I do appreciate you taking time visiting with us and letting us know what's going on, what you're working on. Look forward to seeing you when you come back to Boone.
Always great to be on. Thank you so much. And anybody that has any questions can always go to feenstra.house.gov, and they can send questions, thoughts, or ideas, and I will always respond.